Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no education value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's the White Riot Show. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So, turn up the volume, clean the shit out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
That's right. It's time for the White Riot Show once again. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo Larry M.
And we're here to talk about the latest happenings in the world. Judo Larry M. Lots of interesting things going on in the world this past week since the folks last heard from us. But before we get going to what we want to talk about, let's first do our usual, which is, of course,
pimping.
Pimping, nigga. Big pimping.
Pimp it up.
That's right.
Yep.
Anyway, so if you're listening to the White Riot Show, that means you can always come from WhiteRiotShow.com, where you can check out current and past episodes. You could also find us on iTunes, search for the White Riot Show. Go to Stitcher.com, look for the White Riot Show there. Or you can also go to the Blueberry Network on the Roku, B-L-U-B-R-R-Y, Blueberry Network, and search for the White Riot Show into the comedy section, blowing it up everywhere. You can also find us on Twitter, search for White Riot Show, also on Facebook.com/White Riot Show. It's White Riot Show everywhere, Judo Larium, the very essence of proper marketing.
And let me tell you, everyone, you got to go check out our logo. I think we should talk about that more.
You like the logo?
I love it. I think it's so cool. It looks like an old like Ramones album
from the late
70s. Yeah. This is fantastic.
That's exactly what I was going for when I designed it. Thank you very much. Ramones fan, so I'm glad to see that you like the logo. I also want to say that, it does look, I have to admit, it looks pretty cool. What do you think? Should we put up pictures of ourselves? So far, people are left wondering as to what we look like.
Let's leave them wondering.
Leave them wondering a little bit?
Leave our handsome selves maybe in the future.
Maybe in the future. Big Fat John, Judo Larry M. going to put their visages on the web.
And we have to be very careful because we've stepped on some toes.
Yes, we don't want any crazy Muslims coming after us.
Yeah, I don't want to put my picture out there. Next week you have a picture of me with my head off. So.
Yeah, we're probably under... have we had any... what are they called? With Salman Rushdie, what did they put out on him?
I know what you mean.
Now I can't think of it.
Fatwa.
Fatwa, there you go. I don't know why we're tired here at the White Rights Studio, but we're going to keep up
the energy. It's basically a mafia contract.
Basically, yeah. But anyway, Judo Lariam, also let's tell the folks that you will not be around next week. Next week's episode, you are on international assignment. Heading off to Australia, I hear.
Yes, New Zealand for a couple of days, Australia for a couple of days, then Hawaii just for the hell of it.
Holy shit.
That's a foreign country.
Who are you bodyguarding this time out? Is it some starlet or something? I mean, you're going to some pretty exotic places there.
I can't give out names.
Yes.
But it's actually a couple.
A couple?
And
it's not a threesome, is it? You're not joining in the middle of the night, are you?
Well, I am studying French right now.
There you go.
So ménage à trois would be wonderful.
Yes, there you go.
But... they need my services, and so unfortunately I will miss next week's show, but everybody tune in and listen to the aforementioned Big Fat John. He will keep you informed, and then when I come back, I'll have some interesting stories.
Yeah, take some pictures, get some audio of some of those accents down there. I love Aussie accents.
You like that?
Yeah, they sound kind of cute.
How about...
I can't take anybody seriously, though, with that kind of accent.
Yeah, I always feel that way with the British.
Right.
Which is, of course, this is a penal colony.
Right.
How about a picture of some koala bears fucking?
He's a penal.
Oh,
that's right.
Make me kick your ass, Beavis.
That's right. All right, but White Riot Show, Judo Larry M., let's talk about some of the happenings of the past week. Probably the first thing on everyone's mind is the alleged... tape that shows the inner workings of the thinking of Mitt Romney. Of course, we're talking about the tape that purports where Mitt Romney says he doesn't quote-unquote care about the 47% of the people who don't pay taxes in this country. The tape was secretly recorded by someone from Mother Jones from a banquet that Romney had.
Right. I saw it.
From May, actually. It's an old tape.
It's an old tape. They admitted they've been sitting on it.
They've been sitting on it for the election to drop as a bombshell. Yes. Yeah. Yes, as if there's no liberal media bias, of course, right? But did you see the tape? Did you hear it?
Yes, I did.
What'd you think of it?
I don't see what the big deal is. He's referring to the 47% of douchebags who don't pay any federal income tax.
Exactly.
Now, what you should do when you're talking about these kinds of things, you should point out that they are paying other taxes. They're paying income taxes. They're paying.
But all other things being equal, 53% of the country pays federal income tax and 47% don't. Now, we're not saying they're completely off the hook, although some are. Of the 47%, the majority pay no taxes at all.
Right.
Other than sales taxes when they go to the store or something like that.
And in fairness, these are pretty poor people.
Yeah, they're either the poor or the elderly.
Right.
And before we get into the demographics of the 47%, I agree with you. What was so wrong about what he said?
I have absolutely no idea, because ultimately the number is accurate. See, the way it's going to be portrayed is, this is, as I mentioned last week, this is a guy whose net worth is rated around 200 million, 210, like something in that neighborhood. And he's just going to look like a very rich and out of touch guy who doesn't get it, doesn't care. And if you put him in the office, he's just going to be like, fuck you.
But you know what's ironic about it? First of all, he didn't shit on the 47% of people. He was basically talking about a political strategy. And he was trying to describe to his donors, I mean, if you listen to the tape, what he says is, I can't worry about those 47% from a political strategic point of view.
They're for Obama no matter what.
They're for Obama for the most part, or they're in the ones that are for him, like, say, elderly people who tend to vote Republican. Those aren't as great the numbers that he's talking about. So what he said, which was absolutely true, he's saying Obama's starting out with a 47, 48, 49% base, and he's not going to change any of their minds. Again, very true.
Right.
And what he said is, I have to focus on that 5 to 10% of swing voters who haven't made up their mind, or who are going to make their mind up based on emotion or whatever. I have to appeal to them.
Right.
What he said is perfect political strategy.
Right.
And it's not like he even used derogatory language.
Yeah.
He didn't shit on them. He didn't call them freeloaders. He basically said, I think the worst thing he said about them was, our policies will never appeal,
to the 47%.
To the 47% who don't want to stand up for themselves, don't want to take accountability for their lives, blah, 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 blah. What he said, nothing wrong. As a matter of fact, if the Mitt Romney that was caught on that secret tape was the Mitt Romney I see on the campaign trail, I would actually vote for him.
You would actually go out and...
Because he's someone with confidence, who's someone with conviction. I mean, the guy that made that speech in front of those donors is the CEO of a big company who understands what his options are and has made a logical decision for maximum effect.
Right.
Right? He didn't say, I'm going to shit on the 47%. Hell, when Rudy Giuliani was here in New York, he employed the same kind of strategy. He said he was running against Dinkins the first time out, the first black mayor of New York.
Right.
And his strategy was the following. I'm not going to appeal to the black vote. Why?
Right.
98% of the black vote will go for Dinkins just because of racial lines.
Right.
Whether we want to admit it or not. So he focused on whites and Latinos. And some people called him racist for it. And he said, no, it's just my way of winning. Yeah. That's how you win, right?
If black voters were more open to voting for a Republican. Then,
I think it's...
Not to go off on a tangent, but there's always going to be a disparity there.
Sure.
Because you've got one party whose belief is, you don't really need the government, you should do it yourself.
Right.
And then you've got a kind of victimization mentality of one group that says, no, actually, we need a lot of help from the government to get in and level the playing field and blah, blah, blah.
Right. So. Yeah. And to your point, I never hear anybody say it's racism when 95% of one race votes for the candidate of its own skin color.
Yeah.
For some reason, that's considered pride.
Well,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, they probably vote for a white Democrat anyway.
Now, mind you, if you told me you voted for someone based on skin color alone, guess what? God bless you. Go ahead. I don't care.
That's not right.
No, I didn't say it's right or wrong, but I don't care.
Well, you should.
Why?
Because the concept of the voting is, look, if everybody votes like that, then that means you're not paying attention to issues. That means you don't care but you said you don't care. Well, that's not good. You should care, because when people are voting, you're supposed to be looking at where they stand on the issues. You're supposed to be saying, can this person lead? can they really handle this job on a day-in, day-out basis? And what are their policies and what's going on? If you vote for people just because they're the same as you, that's all right. I voted against Mario Cuomo four times.
And I voted against Dukakis when he ran for president. I mean, I don't ascribe to that. But what I'm saying is that we see it all the time, not just with blacks, but also with Latinos who see pride in someone of their own ethnic group. We saw with Italians, with Greeks, with women, when they go by gender. You know, they would rather vote for Hillary.
No, not women.
Some women do. Some women do.
Yeah, a very small percentage. Women are tough. Women, let me tell you something. Women are very tough on women.
They're very tough on conservative women for some reason.
No, they're just tough on women, period.
Like Jean Kirkpatrick never got
Hillary,
any support.
Even Hillary gets beat up by a lot of women for the way she looks, for the way she dresses, for the way she presents herself.
Okay, maybe
she gets around some of it because she's very smart and she's a Democrat. But women are tough on women, especially older women.
Right.
They really have no confidence in like younger women. They'd prefer a man to run things.
Okay.
I can tell you right now.
Fair enough. Well, so do I.
It's all about the cock.
But anyway, excuse me. So what I meant to say here is that, you know, still, for whatever reason, the media doesn't approach the fact that Obama gets 95% of the black vote as being racist.
He's going to get like 98.
Or being colorblind or whatever. They just view it as, oh, hey, you know, it's pride. It's pride in their candidate.
Pride
it's
in the race, pride, right. And they tend to vote Democrat. Anyway,
first African American president. It's great, right? But anyway.
I thought that was Clinton.
Yeah, right. But anyway, so if I saw the confident Romney that I saw in that speech.
Right.
I would feel so much better about him as a candidate.
Absolutely.
Right? But right now, it's the formula of disaster of every Republican president. I know some people don't want to hear this. Whenever you have a Republican candidate who plays to the middle, it's disastrous. It's disastrous.
Yeah. Now, they need to put just their conservative views out there and say, look, this is who we are.
Yeah. Democrats who play to the middle win. The Clintons of the world win.
Mm.
You know what I mean? McGoverns of the world lose.
Right. The real lefties.
Right. Like Obama won because of a perfect storm.
Perfect storm.
Not because of his policies.
No.
It's because who else are we going to vote for?
8 years of George Bush.
Yeah.
The pendulum was going to swing back. McCain was just McCain. And he also lucked out. The other thing which worked out for him is slightly more than half of Democratic voters, especially in the primaries, did not want to relive the 90s, and they wanted something. They did, and they just turned on the Clintons.
Right.
I mean, I remember when we used to count, we covered it like crazy on the Council of Three.
Yeah.
And week after week, you would just keep seeing these stories of these Democrats in primaries.
Sure.
They're like, well, the Clintons had
politics
their,
as
had
usual,
their time.
Right? Politics as usual, right. And things like that. So you know, so when you look at someone like Obama, like we said, perfect storm, not because of his liberal policies. I think it was just a perfect storm, and his major fight was beating Hillary in the primaries.
Right.
That was his real president. That was the real presidential election,
well,
in essence.
Absolutely,
and he was able to outraise her. Hillary ran out of money basically, and you know, Obama was the last one. He had a great fundraising machine, which, by the way, he's bitching about now that he's running against a rich guy.
Yeah.
He didn't mind being the guy who set records in fundraising, you know, and putting all the money.
He's full of shit.
Exactly. Of course he is. But anyway, so it was interesting to me that this flapped. Now, you mentioned it. Mother Jones admits that they have had this since May.
Yeah, they've had it
for months. They sat on it till now to have maximum effect. And yet, you know what's interesting? Supposedly, there's all this tape, audio and visual, of Obama as a candidate talking about he wants to redistribute wealth in the country. And not like, not alluding to it, just very clearly.
Yeah, very,
I think I should take money.
That.
Yeah, yep. I should take money from one group and give it to another group.
Yeah.
In other words, true socialism, coercive socialism. And yet those tapes are not being released by those media outlets.
Right.
Because they don't want to hurt.
Yeah, I know.
They're completely in the tank for him. So that what's interesting to me is not only the fact that I really think the major media outlets are making a mountain out of a molehill out of Romney's speech. So you've got that sort of bias.
Right.
You also have the bias that they won't release the stuff they're sitting on. I think the Los Angeles Times, I think, is sitting on these tapes that they supposedly have.
Obama,
I mean, I may be wrong. I think it's
LA
Times,
them,
but it could be. And then supposedly, something I heard was Andrea Mitchell supposedly has some tapes, but she goes, I can't fully corroborate them, so I will, you know what
she's
I mean?
She's an MSNBC scumbag.
Yeah. So, but I don't know, Judo Lariam, what did you think about that? I've come to the conclusion, like I said,
look, if you can turn Bain Capital and his success. If you can turn that into a negative, you can turn this into a negative.
So why is Romney such a pussy, though?
Because he's a Mormon.
Do you think that's it?
No.
It can't be it. I mean, like, I mean, I know you were trying to go over the joke, but I mean...
Maybe he's just like a passive guy like that. I don't know. But I think he's afraid if he comes out too hard and too strong, he's going to alienate even more people. But I think he's like 5 points behind now, so he needs something. He needs something. Like, the Ryan thing was nice.
Even Huntsman said, look, I'm not crazy about him, but I'm going to vote for him because the other alternative is Obama. So
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I don't...
I just think by his very nature, he's not overly aggressive, and he's just kind of passive.
Yeah. It's not working for him.
Yeah, then passive-aggressive doesn't work.
It's not working for him. And I mean, he's trying to appeal to people's civility and, I mean, high-mindedness, for lack of a better word. And it's just not working for him. He's just not getting his message out. And
the other things that aren't working for him are, you know, the Obama people. I mean, these guys can get away with anything. You got Joe Biden telling an audience that was like half black, they're going to put y'all back in chains.
Right.
No problem.
Yeah.
The redistribution comment, no problem.
Right.
Even a couple of years ago, when he first ran, didn't Obama make that comment about certain Americans hiding around with their guns and God and their guns?
Was that Obama or Hillary?
No, that was Obama.
That was Obama.
To an audience he was speaking to in San Francisco. Right. He didn't get in any trouble.
Right.
You know, the Reverend Wright and that.
Well, he didn't catch grief.
He didn't catch any grief.
It lasts a day or two with him and then slides right off. He's Teflon.
The other day, the president made a comment that Egypt's not really an ally. And then, like, even like liberal sources were like, well, then what are they? No, nothing.
Right.
Nothing hurts him. Like, you know what the problem is?
What's that?
He's going to scoot by because he's got, and I think they've calculated this, he's got just enough people to win. He's going to get 51, 52% of the vote, and that's it.
Well, I don't think it's the popular vote so much as it is the electoral college. I think he's got the right combination of states. Like, for Romney,
I think he'll slightly win the popular vote too.
No, he probably will, but I think even more so, it's just the way he's divvying up the red and blue states. I think he's in a position now where, you know, I don't know if Florida's going to go for him, but you know,
I saw something today on one website that said they're neck and neck down there.
Yeah,
but, you know, I don't know.
He really has to screw up somehow. I think at this point, like I said, if you're a decent American with conservative values, you can't win in this election, no matter who gets elected. You can't win with Romney.
I actually think you're still better off with Romney than this guy. You know, all those czars and those people who work for him and Holder.
Oh, and then when you won't have to worry about being reelected the second time out when he's a lame duck president, so it's going to be horrible.
I wouldn't phrase it that if you're a conservative.
Well, what I meant is...
It's not an ideal situation for if you're a conservative, but you have to realize that you're better off with him, or vote for Gary Johnson on the Libertarian ticket, which is what I'm seriously thinking about.
Yeah, I mean, but in essence, voting for Gary Johnson means you're not voting for anybody, but, you know, I mean, effectively.
No, you are. It's just, you're just not voting. You're just not getting roped into that mindset where I got to vote for one of the two established.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
Look, my vote's not going to matter in New York. This state's going for Obama.
It's going for Obama regardless.
And it's not
going
to help him in the electoral college, so I might as well vote my conscience.
Yeah, you're right.
And I like Gary Johnson. I just saw him on John Stossel the other day. I mean, he's a very smart, capable guy, which is exactly why they're ignoring him.
Right. Well, the only thing I would say is that the best thing, if you're a conservative, that you can hope for in this election is 4 more years of gridlock.
Oh, you'll get that.
4 years of gridlock and just get us to, like, Christie or somebody in 2016.
Yeah.
And hope for the best, I think, is probably what we can do. But, you know, the state houses and Congress has been drifting back to the Republican side ever since Obama's election.
Also, remember one other thing that you were saying about conservatives. I want to point this out to any conservatives who are, like yourself, who are very unhappy about this. Also, remember, if Obama gets reelected, he's going to get to put at least one more person on the Supreme Court, whereas Romney will absolutely put a conservative on it just to kiss their ass and to show that he's a team player.
You're right.
So, now you're looking at getting like another one of these Sotomayor or one of these idiots or getting somebody good like Scalia or Rehnquist.
Right, Yeah, that's you're right. From that perspective, you're right. But then again, look, we got John Roberts out of the last guy, and
he's not. Yeah.
Depending on what you think of him, he's either someone who's totally dedicated to the Constitution or fucked up, one or the other. Right, when it came to Obamacare.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well,
which way.
He punted it. He didn't.
Yeah, he basically threw it back. I mean, he could have just said it's unconstitutional based on the Commerce Clause, and he chose to interpret it as a tax. So I mean, you know, in that sense, it was. You're right. He punted. He could have put an end to it, but he decided not to.
Yeah, he decided to punt it back.
Which, you know, I guess at the end of the day, I'm not upset about because he did what Supreme Court justices are supposed to do. It's like, Although, yeah, I don't know. If finding it is a different tangent for a different time, it's going to take us too long to get into that.
That's right.
But, yes, okay, so that's what we thought about the whole Romney flap there with the video. And really nothing nothing there.
Nothing too bad. I mean, they'll make some stink out of it, but... I mean, look, as far as I'm concerned, it's an argument for what I'm always talking about. We need a whole new tax system and preferably some kind of flat tax, something between 20-25%.
Like 17-19%, but whatever.
Unfortunately, we need to get more revenue these days because we have a lot of debt. But, I mean, the original numbers, like with Jack Kemp and everything, he used to be big on 19%.
Yeah.
But it's something like 20%. I think that's perfect.
I agree.
And just give people a few deductions, and that's your...
Or zero deduction.
Really? Nothing?
Nothing. Just don't tax them twice. So once they pay it on the federal level, don't pay it again in state and local.
Yeah.
Don't pay sales tax, shit like that. But pay your 20% off the top, and then no deductions, no loopholes.
Okay.
You know, people think that if you're a conservative, you're somehow for leniency on big corporations. I don't know where this fucking idea comes from. Being a conservative and a free marketeer means you don't let government get involved. You want government out of the business of business. You know, you just want to let free markets, let prices work. Prices are, you know... prices are the signal by which we understand what is fair value. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you don't fuck with prices, they will find their levels.
They'll find the proper level.
So someone says, why is healthcare so expensive? Why does it keep rising? You want to know why? Because the government's paying the bill.
Because I think it's the Democrats have been fighting like crazy against tort reform. And
right. Well, it's a lawyer's thing.
All the malpractice that the doctors have to protect themselves.
Well, I'm not one of those that thinks we should get rid of lawyers. I'm not one of those guys that says we should put caps on awards or anything like that.
I'm not making that argument. I'm just saying that's a big part of the expense in this country.
Oh, agreed.
We're talking about the expense
overly litigious.
I mean, clearly lawyers have their place.
Yeah.
But when you were talking a minute ago about the cost.
Yes.
The cost of litigation, the cost of having to have insurance to protect yourself, everything. I think it covers like something like 40% of the.
I don't know if it's that high. I still think the highest cost of every healthcare dollar is administration. In general, it's administration. It's not R&D. It's not medicine. It's actually administration.
Well, that's going to be a big part of it.
But having said that,
I heard 40% was for those two.
Okay, but if you think about it, how many times have you been to a doctor where you don't even ask what the cost of the treatment is? Do you understand what I'm saying? You just go in there and say, well, my insurance covers it.
Right.
Or the government's or Medicare or Medicaid, whatever, right?
Something.
You don't shop around for doctors. And people say, shop around for a doc. Yes, shop around for a doctor.
Yeah.
Like, if there wasn't someone with quote-unquote unlimited pockets, without deep pockets, to fund all this shit.
Right.
Right? The free market would kick in. Well, I don't know. I've said this all the time, Judah Lyram. I don't know if you remember, but when I was a kid, we didn't have health insurance. My father never had health insurance. He was a laborer. He was a car mechanic. He was an auto mechanic. Most weeks he got paid in cash. You know what I mean? It was one of those things, right?
Oh, wow. Okay.
We didn't have health insurance, but whenever we went to the doctor, you know what it was? It was, you would tell the doctor, he would look at you and say, okay, you know, he would know how much money you made. You know, it was a neighborhood doctor.
Yeah.
And he would take what you could afford. You know, he'd give you a flu shot.
Well,
what do you got? $10, $5 or whatever. You know what I mean?
That's very decent of
it. Yeah, but those were, but you know why? Because.
But not everyone has that situation.
Right. If you priced yourself as a doctor, think of it as any market-based service. Why would doctors charge something that no one could afford to pay?
Right. That's ridiculous.
Right? Why would they do that?
You'd be out of business.
You'd be out of business. There'd be no reason for you to be a doctor unless you were a true altruist, in which case money's not your prime motivation anyway.
Right.
Right? So, to me, the fact that a doctor can say, oh, come in, we'll give you an exam, $250. But that's okay. It's only a $20 deductible. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why are they then charging $230? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not a free market. It's not a market-based system that lets buyers and sellers figure out what the proper value is, what the proper cost is.
Right.
Now, that's not going to eliminate everything.
No, but it's
that
a system
spiraling
that allows to charge that, and it makes it spiral out of control.
Yeah. I view it this way. Let's say you drink beer, right? If the government were in the business of selling beer, I guarantee you, beer would be like $200 a bottle. Do you know what I mean? Because they would limit supplies. They would try to make sure that everybody got the same amount of beer.
Look at the price of cigarettes.
Yeah, or cigarette because of the taxes, right? Yeah. But that's also a sin tax thing. They want to stop it. That's why they tax it. In New York, what is it, $15 a pack of cigarettes?
Like,
so people around the country don't believe that. And, if we go downstairs into Times Square, if you want to get a pack of Marlboros, it'll cost you $15-16 a pack.
Yeah.
Not a carton.
No, yeah.
A pack.
That's for a pack.
And something like $12 of that is the whole taxes, right?
Right.
So by not allowing the free market to operate without the government meddling, Judo Lariam, that's part of the rise of this cost.
Oh, of course.
We're not allowing prices to send the right signals, right? In the stock market, my favorite story is, what was it, like 6 hours after the Challenger crashed? Remember when the Challenger crashed?
Yeah.
Was it the Challenger?
It blew up in the air.
Up in the air? Within 6 hours, the stock market had figured out which company was at fault. With no inside information.
Okay. And the stock price went.
And the stock tanked.
Yeah.
So there were something like, there were six major companies that were involved in building the shuttle. Initially, all six went down. Within 6 hours, five went up and one stayed down. 3 months later, when the investigation got done, guess which one was the main culprit? The stock that
the
had
one
stayed
that
down.
Went in the toilet,
What I'm trying to say is, markets, for whether you think it's voodoo or something, are remarkably efficient.
Yeah, they'll correct them.
Yeah, they're remarkably efficient. Why don't we let them work? There's always someone who gets in the middle who says, these markets aren't working fairly.
Right.
They're not working fairly. We have to control them. Well, or they'll go wacky if we don't control them.
The new argument now also is that it's rigged. This is just rigged. There's a bunch of rich guys, and they know what's going on, and everybody else is out. They're in, and they're getting stinking rich.
Right.
And they're only paying like 13% of their taxes, which is what the guy in the New York Times wrote.
Right.
And all that bullshit.
Well, to be honest with you, I think the market is rigged. But it's not rigged by the participants.
No, it's rigged by the government.
It's rigged by the government, whether we want to admit it or not. Mm-hmm. And to me, when everybody starts bitching like these Occupy Wall Street assholes who are celebrating their one-year anniversary. Whether it's liberals, whether it's far leftist, communist, socialists like our president, when they say we got to run stuff, we got to fix it, we got to make sure it's equitable. How do you propose to fix something using the mechanism that corrupted it to begin with?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I saw a commercial the other day from somebody in the Green Party. And you ready for this? This genius?
Say.
Guaranteeing everybody a job.
Of course.
Guaranteeing everybody education all the way through a PhD.
Hallelujah.
Paid for.
Hallelujah.
Guaranteeing you a house.
Chicken in every pot.
Yeah. Yes. Basically, all you have to do is show
up. Sounds like
up
Huey Long.
And they're going to give you. No, Huey wasn't this stupid.
A chicken in every pot.
Yeah. This is literally. This was their platform.
Well, it's the nonsense utopia of the
And they're
going to
do this by raising everyone's taxes to 98%.
Well, what's socialism? It's the
ignorance of mankind.
It's what is it? The equal sharing of misery?
Yeah.
You know,
it's mutually assured poverty.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's eventually you run out of other people's
money.
You run out of other people's money, as Margaret Thatcher said. I don't understand the mentality of anybody. And I understand there's disenfranchised. I understand there will always be poor. Look, the free market is incredibly efficient, but it's not compassionate. It's not, you know what I mean?
No.
There will be winners and losers.
Yeah.
Right? Not everybody will have the mansion. Not everybody will be able to afford what they want to afford.
The only thing which I really wish we could avoid, and we could just eliminate, is because you have to realize, like, one Bernie Madoff ruins the pot
for everybody,
for everybody like us who just want to make a buck, and you're in the market and you're not doing anything wrong. Because one guy like him, especially the obnoxious amount of money that he pilfered, just throws it under the, makes it possible to take the system and throw it under the bus and just say, this is a horrible system.
But I will now counter. I agree with you. I'm not defending Bernie Madoff or anything that he did or anybody like him or Senor Ponzi back in the day. But the truth of the matter is, Judo Lariam, name me a system where there isn't crime, where there isn't someone taking a, do we think that in some socialist utopia there isn't crime? That the commissars aren't running around fucking people in the ass?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on. That's the part I don't understand. To me, unless a system is designed to perpetuate crime.
which I'd have to point out there that people on the very far left will definitely say is the problem with capitalism.
Yeah, but I'm not worried about the 2% of lunatic fringe. But I mean, for most people, show me the system that doesn't have criminal elements.
Yeah, there is
socialism,
there is no perfect system.
People who love socialism and communism, can we please remember that socialists in 1939 took over a country named Germany?
Yeah,
The Nazis were socialists,
they
folks.
Were the National Socialist
National
Party.
Socialist Party. And if you want to talk about communism and everybody's equal and we were rule of the proletariat and all that and Marxist bullshit, let's remember what Stalin and Lenin did in their home country. More people executed than Hitler.
Yeah, the Nazis are always associated with being a right-wing movement.
Yeah, but they're really
they were a left-wing movement. That's why they had red in their flag.
Yeah.
Because it was supposed to be a way to attract German socialists and German communists to come in to join their party. On top of which the National Socialists were horrible dancers. So
but excellent painters.
They were excellent painters.
Two coats. One room, two coats.
Speaking
for anybody that's ever watched the producers.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's our little rant on the benefits of the free market system. Judo Lariam, I see you've got a couple of papers in front of you. What are you going to hit me with right now?
I'm going to hit you with my... currently, I have a couple of Heroes of the Week.
Heroes of the Week. This is a new feature on the White Riot Show.
I'd like to give a big shout out to smoke inhalation.
To what?
Smoke inhalation.
Smoke inhalation?
Yes, because a Pakistani man, while burning an American flag, died of smoke inhalation.
What did this dope have to say? Please tell me that he was protesting the innocence of Muhammad.
Yeah, he was out there doing it, and he was burning a flag, and he died of smoke inhalation, which I thought was the funniest story.
How do you die of smoke inhalation while burning a flag? Like, did you shove it up your nose like a tampon or something?
What happens is you're burning it, and you're taking in the smoke, but you're so crazy with fact you don't leave, you don't move, you just keep breathing it in, and then you die.
Oh,
so fuck you.
What an asshole. Okay.
Yep.
Good for him.
Second Hero of the Week, we're going to give a shout out, even though they're known for their left-wing politics, a big shout out to the French newspaper Charlie Hebdo.
Wow, the French.
The French.
Why?
Because Charlie Hebdo, just the past couple of days, right, he's printing cartoons mocking Muhammad.
Really?
Yes, that's
good
why.
For them.
That's why. If you, I don't know if you saw this on the news the past day or so, the French have been closing embassies and beefing up security and making truffles and doing, you know,
typical French pussies. First they insult the guy, then they run and hide.
Well, look, the motto of the country is, I've got a good mind to ring your doorbell and run, so I don't know what you're talking about.
The French are poofsters.
So, Charlie Hebdo.
Yes.
That's the name of the publication.
Fair
enough. It started in the 70s, and they've been printing this stuff, and I think they're doing the right thing. In fact, I think every other publication in the world should do it.
Good for them. I don't like the fact that they're closing embassies and shit, but okay, fair enough.
Well, that's
good
because they're afraid of what's been going on with us. And you have to realize, which is also the smaller, not so reported thing, is some, for whatever reason, some German embassies have been attacked as well.
Germans?
Yeah.
I
saw that in the news. You saw it like with that bird of prey kind of logo that day. And they said, this German was like attacked by, like,
birds.
You see them stepping on it. Well, I don't know what the fuck it is. The Bundeswagen. And, you know. So, and then, of course, now, so we got the Pakistani guy. So smoke inhalation. That's
smoke inhalation.
Okay. Charlie Hebdo, there's your shout out. And right now, my third favorite, I didn't get their names, but in some town in southern Iran,
right,
some guy named Hajjalatsam Ali Beheshti.
God bless you.
Thank you. He was walking down the street and he saw two girls who weren't wearing their hijab.
Damn
and
bitches.
And they weren't covered up enough.
Cunt.
So he...
How do you say cunts in Muslim?
I think he went up to them and said, I don't know, make sex in your mouth, in your vagina, and then I cut your head off. But he told them to cover up more and they should be wearing their hijab.
Right.
And they told him, shut up, and they cursed at him, and they said, if you don't like it, cover your eyes.
Okay.
And he said, you really should, and I'm very offended, and then they started beating him up. And they knocked him to the ground, they kicked him, and they cursed him, and they haven't officially gotten into trouble yet, but they could be facing like...
They should get in trouble, those filthy bitches. Uppity cunt. What are they doing? They should cover themselves up from head to toe. Are they looking to get their clits chopped off as punishment?
Well, that already happened when they were 2 months old.
Fair enough.
I think you should wear a burqa. In fact, from now on in this country, we're going to have Burqa Friday. We're going to make every country in
the casual Burqa Friday.
Casual Burqa Friday. We're going to make every woman in the country wear some half-assed potato sack. And we're going to see if you could do your job wearing that stupid fucking thing. But I'm so proud of them.
How do guys bust a nut? when women are covered in head to toe?
I don't know. And the other thing which I don't understand is, how do you know that you're attracted to them?
Yeah.
You can't see any. You can't see their face. You can't see
anything. There's something I'm missing here. There's got to be something I'm missing.
Well, that's because you're not a muscle.
Is it like AMOC time? They get to like undress or show off an ankle every 7 years or something? Like, I mean, what?
Well, no, the AMOC time. No, the AMOC time. Sorry, that's more like a salmon swimming upstream. This is just not being able to see people, but somehow, somehow deciding I want to fuck you.
Does it go by body odor? I sense the odor of sardines. This is a hot one.
I can tell from sniffing you, your ass crack is the same as Bin Laden himself. Would you please have sex with me in a spider hole?
Twice.
The same spider hole Saddam Hussein hit it. Then I will cut your head off.
Twice.
like a praying mantis woman. They're fucking morons. I'm glad they beat him up.
But how are they still alive?
Because the punishment is only to wear your hijab and to do community service.
Okay.
We actually found something punishable in the Middle East that doesn't involve real violence.
Or death.
Yeah. You must die. But the other thing which I thought was great, though, is I like this because they remind me, they're like the Muslim Pussy Riot. You know, they're just not giving in.
The Muslim Riot.
Yeah.
The Muzzy Riot. Instead of Pussy Riot, Muzzy Riot.
The Burka Riot.
Muzzy Riot. I want to riot. Off with your head.
Dun, dun, dun. Cut your head off after sex like a praying mantis.
Dun, dun, dun. Maybe we can get our friend Ken to record like a Muzzy Riot cover.
Yeah. Maybe get him off his fat ass and film the show. So, smoke inhalation, Charlie Hebdo.
Yeah.
And these two uppity bitches in Iran. You are the best.
Yes.
Those are the three heroes of the week.
Three heroes of the week, a new feature on the White Riot Show. By the way, when you started talking about the French magazine, I thought you were going to talk about the French magazine that published those like topless photos of Kate Middleton, Princess
Kate.
Okay,
let's get something straight.
Yeah.
She's British.
Yeah.
I don't want to see her tits.
They look kind of flapjacky, to be honest with you. I saw those pictures. They were not.
You know.
I mean, she's better than most of the inbreds of the royal family. Yeah, I think she looks prettier than most of the inbreds, but still.
Look, I love the British, but they're not attractive women. The men or the women are just not. They're just not.
Right.
I do apologize because I love them.
Yeah.
I've been over there three times, but they're just not hot.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like I grew up watching the Avengers.
Oh, Diana Rigg.
But you know what? Even Diana Rigg, it turns out, is half Belgium, I think.
Yeah, saving grace.
I think her mother was Belgian and her father was from England or something. She was hot as hell.
Yeah. That cat suit she wore was unbelievable in the 60s. Yeah.
We're dating ourselves, but
she was hot.
Yeah, but I used to have the whole collection of the show. And she was just
definitely
booming. But you realize the show was on for like 10 years. They had a couple of women before her and after, but she was something special, and she could act. So you couldn't throw it
act?
All in. Yeah, she could act. I think that's important.
The only acting I like is on efuck.com.
Yes, I know. I wasn't going to mention it. John gets a lot of his ideas from. In fact, go to efuck. There's one right now where people are doing it on a mirror.
On a mirror.
On a mirror.
All right. You know what? Let's take a quick break. And we'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to the White Riot Show.
When your dedication to fantasy sports borders on obsession, you need to get some serious help. No, we don't mean psychiatric help. You need the help that can only be provided by Sports Grumblings. Sports Grumblings covers all of the major fantasy sports end-to-end, churning out player updates, news, strategy tips, cheat sheets, and more, including the world-famous Fantasy Forecast Ranking System, the only comprehensive computer-generated prediction system of its kind. We do all the work needed to make your fantasy team successful, so you don't have to. Go to sportsgrumblings.com today and see for yourself why we are Fantasy Sports Center of Excellence.
All right, we are back on the White Riot Show, and Judah Larry M. in the spirit of the Sports Grumblings commercial we just heard, let's talk a little about football. Did you catch, by any chance, the football action last weekend?
Yes, I did.
And we love football. You and I are big football fans, right? NFL fans?
I have to especially love football now because I only follow football and hockey.
Right.
And right now there is no hockey and there probably won't be. So now really? They're
locked out.
They're locked out, and all these players very quickly have already signed with all these clubs in Europe. And even Alex Ovechkin, who's a superstar, he said it may go on for a year. He goes, and I don't even know if some of these guys are going to come back.
What are the issues?
They can make more. They're all economic, but unfortunately, look, about, this is the third lockout while Gary Bettman has been the commissioner.
Right.
And what's annoying about it is, you know, the last one, I was kind of with the owners. I was like, look, there's going to be a cap, and it's going to be like a cap like football, you know. So give them their cap. Let them have, they got a 24% scale back on salaries.
Okay.
They got a cap to spend like a limited amount of money, you know, to try and keep the rich teams from outspending the poor teams. They got 24% scale back on money. They got all kinds of concessions.
So they got a lot of concessions.
And the unions gave it to them.
Right.
So now they've had 7 years and a fucking prosperity. Last year, the NHL made $3.2 billion. Now that's not as much as football and baseball, these other sports, but it's all profit.
Right.
It's good money for hockey.
Right.
Let me tell you. And it shows that they're gaining a little bit.
Right.
You know,
right.
The year before, they signed a 10-year contract to show all their games on NBC Sports.
Right, right.
Which originally, now the joke of all this, the origin of it, was when the NHL left ESPN, Gary Bettman was very mad with them.
Right.
And he went and he signed a contract with what used to be on cable TV, the Outdoor Living Network.
Right.
Which was ridiculous, and nobody could find it.
Right, right.
And games had like an average of like 700,000 people.
Right.
Then that became something now called Versus.
Right.
Now Versus has been taken over by NBC Sports.
Oh, okay.
And NBC Sports on cable showed every playoff game, all of it, and on Channel 4, the Stanley Cup, everything, and the ratings were much better. It's a much better product. It's much, and just everything. Advertisers, as much as they want. There's a group right now building an arena in Seattle to accommodate, believe it or not, hockey and basketball.
Right.
There's a lot of things looking up for them, but they've got some teams in the South that are really struggling. The Florida Panthers that play in Sunrise. The Atlanta team moved to Winnipeg.
Right.
So, you know, but the point is, they got some issues to deal with, but the owners are being slobs again. They really are. Some of the proposals are just, they want another scale back on salaries. They want the...
So when they, one of the things I hate when I hear scale back on salaries, aren't the dopey owners the ones who are paying them to begin with?
Yeah.
To sign them the contracts?
They gave them the contracts.
So?
And they don't want to honor them now. That's not right.
No.
Look, somebody gives you a contract, you got to live it. I get mad when the players sit out and they don't want to honor and they force a trade. You know, fuck you. But here it is. Now the owners, they want another scale back after handing out these crazy contracts.
Right.
Kovalchuk on the Devils got $100 million. And like some of these people, and now they, well, you know why we gave you this money, but we want to scale it down to like 70 or whatever the hell it is. And we want like 10% back or 15%. You know, I was with them last time. This time I'm not with them. Like, look.
So this time you're siding with the players.
Yeah, I am. Like, listen. You guys are super profitable right now. Even though, like all sports, there's a few franchises that are struggling. Like, I was reading something in Forbes the other day about the Buffalo Bills. Did you read about that?
No.
They are the poorest NFL team. They are in serious financial problems, according to Forbes. Their market share is down. They spend a lot of money on like a Mario Williams and these things. And they came up with a whole thing. And they're like on the other opposite side of the spectrum, you have the Dallas Cowboys who are number one. And he goes, but every sport has some teams
sure.
like that.
Yeah. Look at the Yankees and the Pirates or whatever. It happens in every sport.
Yeah.
Small market teams can't afford it, you know, so it happens. But so you're not feeling good about hockey. You don't think there's going to be a hockey season it's going to be shortened or something?
I don't even think there's going to be one.
No, that's a shame. I'm a casual hockey fan. I know you're a huge hockey fan.
Yeah.
So I know that kind of hit you. But talking about football, let's get back to that. Did you catch the games this Sunday?
Yes, I did.
First of all, what's up with these fucking referees?
Oh,
with these are some of the worst games I've ever seen officiated.
Yeah.
Like, the Monday night game was an abomination.
Yeah.
The first half lasted something like 2.5 hours because they kept getting the calls wrong and they had to stop. There were fights. They couldn't control the game. These refs are just overmatched. Like, they're not even the good college refs. They're like the Division III refs
something. They're clowns from, like, you know, that the league is running in there because they don't want to give in to the demands of the referee.
See, now in this
but
case.
You know what the problem is here? Guy said, I forgot who it was. Somebody said the other day, maybe it was LeSean McCoy. One of them said, these guys are fans.
Yeah.
He goes, one guy like asked me for like an autograph or like, or he said, like, it's thrilling to see you or like.
No, he said, I need you on my fantasy team.
Oh, God.
Then one of the other referees, they had to dismiss him from a game because it turns out he was a huge Packers fan. Like, he had all the Packers paraphernalia on his Facebook page
and
everything.
The Saints.
Or the Saints. Yeah, So that's like, and you know what I can't believe? The owners. have the most profitable sport in the United States, possibly the world.
Yeah.
They have this money-making franchise. Anything the fucking NFL does turns to gold, whether it's that NFL Network, fantasy football, the merchandising, the gear, the films, everything is gold. Is gold. The TV contracts are the richest in history, and they're holding it up because of these fucking refs. Pay them what the fuck they want, for God's sake. You now realize how good these guys are. Right. You don't notice them for the most part, when they're there. Now, every play, you got to worry. Was there holding? I mean, receivers are getting mugged down the field.
Yeah.
Now, I like good hard-nosed football, but how many hits did I see this weekend where it was clearly leading with the helmet, like that asshole Golden Tate knocked out that Cowboy Sean Lee, and then he pointed to his nameplate, like Rob Van Dam.
Like Rob
Van like, that guy should have been...
Kenny Phillips on the Giants, he
destroyed
somebody. Yeah. And, like, nothing.
Against Tampa Bay, yeah.
Nothing.
So, yeah, talk about the integrity of the game. It's not a couple of guys laying some money down on a game. It's the fact that you're having these games decided by amateur referees. The defensive players especially are licking their chops. They're like, we're going to take advantage of this as long as it's here.
They're getting away with stuff that, like, Ham used to get away with.
Like, it's like Jack Lambert and Mel Blunt and all the Jack Tatum and those guys.
Ray Nitschke.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Guys, like,
they're hitting guys down the field.
Up.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's one problem. The second thing was, did you – so this was a little controversial. I know you're a Giants fan. You saw the end of the Giants Buccaneers game, right?
Yes, I did.
Like, during the kneel down when the Buccaneers decided they were going to basically fire Chris Paul. I was going to ask you, what do you think about that? Do you believe that sports have unwritten rules?
Yeah.
Because that's supposedly...
They all have unwritten rules.
I know, but that's supposedly an unwritten rule. It's like if you're in a victory formation, you don't rush. You kind of just concede victory.
And Eli Manning told him he was going to kneel down. No, that's Bush League. That's just Bush League. I mean, look, maybe this guy, Shanno, doesn't know that. Maybe he's coming from the college ranks.
Right.
He said that he's done it there. Well, you know what? Maybe you do that in the college ranks. You don't do it in the NFL.
Yeah.
You don't.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's interesting to me because, like, under normal circumstances, I'm like, yeah, you know what? That's not a bad thing. You play whistle to whistle. You give it 110% whistle to whistle. But I think in this situation, it's different because if it's a – again, I don't know if I do believe in unwritten rules. You know what I mean? I was going to say faggoty, but I'm trying to cut down on that word. There was this writer, I think, on Yahoo Sports who was saying unwritten rules are, like, not rules or else they'd be written. And what's wrong with this? And, you know, what's wrong with firing off on the ball? What's wrong with showing up a pitcher after you hit a home run? And I'm like, only someone who has never played a sport could ever write that.
Right.
Right?
Well, that is faggoty.
Yeah, yeah. Right. But, like, in high school, we were taught this when I was coming up, when I was pitching in high school. Somebody hits a home run off you. The next guy gets a pitch under his chin.
The next guy has to take a seat.
Yeah. You're not out to hurt him, but you have to reestablish that you, as the pitcher, own the plate.
Right.
So we were always told, you throw it at his ass. You know, you throw it on his hip. And that's professional. You know what I mean? There's something to be said about professionalism. You throw it at a guy's hip. He understands it's coming. You hit him with, like, a curve or a slider or something. You don't try to bean them.
Right.
And everybody walks away the way they're supposed to.
Right.
Because if you don't do that, what happens? The next 10 batters are going to be on top of the plate looking for the same pitch to hit out of the park.
Right.
The unwritten rule. You don't cross the pitcher's mound on your way on or off the field if you're the opposing player.
Right. When you slide into second, you're not really supposed to lead with your spikes.
That's Ty Cobb bullshit. We all understand that. In football, you're in the victory formation. You don't try to cripple someone.
You just say, okay, good game.
And you just go like that. Yeah.
Because, like, even in hockey, if the game's ending and, like, a guy's standing behind his net with the puck and, you know, there's like a few seconds left and the score's like 4-1, you're not scoring. You're not winning.
Right.
You don't go after him, like, check him into the board.
Right.
That's it. The game's over.
Right. Or what's the unwritten rule? Nobody touches the goaltender?
Well, allegedly.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
That goes on a lot.
Yeah.
But you're not supposed to run him.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to skate at him.
Right.
These guys are moving over 30 miles an hour.
Right. So, yeah, so there's all these unwritten rules. And, yeah, only someone, and I wish I could remember the writer's name, only someone who's never participated in sports, in my opinion, would sit back and tell you that there's no such thing as unwritten rules. There's unwritten rules. Of course there's unwritten rules. Because it's a gentleman's understanding, so to speak, right? Like the mafia. We don't go after each other's families or whatever the fuck they do.
They don't kill women and children.
Right, whatever it is. I mean, there's these unwritten, it's like a code of ethics almost that, you know, you don't have to write down. But that appalled me. That physically appalled me. Not just the play on the field, because I agree.
The Bucks, that was horrible. No, what are you referring to?
Just in general that this asshole would write that there's no such thing as unwritten rules.
Oh, that guy. Oh, all right.
It just appalls me. But by the way, I like some of those reactions. Like Eli Manning just had his old dopey down home reaction. Well, oh. you know.
He was upset. He actually said something for him that is much more strident than he didn't say his usual, like, well, that was just the end of the game. Like, he said, like, well, it was a bit of a cheap shot. Like,
You know. Chris Knee was like, the next time they do that, they're getting a knee to the head.
Yeah. Yeah, Chris Knee, I like, he just went, he goes, that's just Bush League. He goes, next time he goes, I'm hitting somebody.
And Justin Tuck was like, I remember the shit. Don't worry.
No.
Next time I meet you, motherfucker. You know, it's like, no, and also in the Cowboy game, let me tell you something about the Cowboys game. You know the Cowboys are pussies because not one person went after Golden Tate.
Yeah.
After that hit. Because that was clearly a Bush League shot.
Yeah.
The hit was borderline, to be honest with you. It was a blindside hit. The guy was defensive.
You mean it was a Hines Ward hit?
Yeah. But it was borderline because he led with the helmet. Okay. Right. So it was borderline. It should have probably been flagged. But the activity afterwards, the showing off, the preening, the pointing to his name on his back and all that.
That's too much.
If there was a man among those fucking Cowboys, Golden Tate would be in crutches right now.
Yeah.
He'd be on crutches. Well, he'd have a fucking leg broken right now. I mean, we were smart enough to do that in high school, for God's sake. You didn't show up anybody for doing that shit. Especially when you almost took a guy's head off. You could have crippled him or paralyzed him.
Yeah,
and you're walking around pointing to your back. And it's not like in the heat of the moment, the fist pump. You know, we're not talking about something
like that. Jump
guy,
up and you
that
hit.
Fucking guy. I looked up his stats. He's got 58 catches in something like 28 games.
Yeah.
In over 3 years. He sucks a dick.
Loser. Yeah.
And he's over there pointing because he took out one of the better young linebackers in the NFL right now.
Yeah, I'm surprised that, like, DeMarcus Ware didn't go
Somebody
up
had to do him, something.
Go up to him after the game and say, like, look, motherfucker.
Yeah, that shit's out. Someone's got to protect your players when you do that shit.
Absolutely.
I mean, if I was on the Cowboys team, I'm like, who the fuck has my back now? If I'm Sean Lee, I would look around and say, who the fuck has my back on this team? And why would I go all out for anybody else now?
Right.
So, yeah, it was Bush League by Golden Tate, and he's a fucking asshole. But somebody on the Cowboys needs to step up in that situation.
Yeah.
Somebody has to.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. All right, Judah Larry M., I'm about talked out this week. I'm a little run down. What do you think?
I think that's the rundown for this week.
That's right. And I know you got to get home, prepare for your international trip.
Yeah, my big trip.
Heading out to Australia and New Zealand.
Yep. You
going to get some Aussie broads?
I hope so.
Chipping good Aussie pussy?
No. I don't even know anybody. I've heard that. The
I got Aussie pussy once in my life.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Tall, blue-eyed blonde. Fantastic. Fantastic. Nice. They just do everything.
You sure it wasn't a koala bear?
No. No, but she was really cute, and she did everything.
Oh, yeah.
Almost like a white version of a Puerto Rican chick. Just did everything. you got the rib job. Everything.
Me. I'm really looking forward to it. So.
You got
to
go.
You
got to let it all go.
You gotta let it go, baby.
All right. Enough of that. Okay. You've been listening to the White Riot Show. We hope you'll join us again next week, where I'll be here solo as Judo Lariam traverses the Pacific Rim in search of protection for his clients and Australian pussy for himself at night.
In search of trim.
In search of trim. Wasn't that a Leonard Nimoy show?
I think so. In search of
trim. All right. Here we go then. Until next week, this is Big Fat John
and Judah Larium
saying, keep your head up. Don't let somebody blindside you. Peace.